We come in our scripture reading this morning to Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 13. That's found on page 1202 in your pew Bible. Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 13. And the Apostle Paul has taken us through what is a glorious chapter in the Bible, and certainly in the book of Romans, chapter 8. And we've learned some wonderful truths of the Apostle Paul reminding us that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, that we can never be separated from the love of God in Christ, and such wonderful, reassuring truths there. And now we come into chapter 9 and enter into what is a little more difficult of a section, perhaps chapters 9 through 11, as they're a little more difficult, but still wonderful. And the Apostle Paul is turning as one who loves his countrymen, loves his kinsmen according to the flesh. I think it shows us something of the heart of God's people, those who know there's no condemnation for them because of Christ Jesus. They are recipients of the marvelous grace of God, and they know they can never be separated from that love of God in Christ Jesus, and therefore their hearts are in anguish, as Paul says, great sorrow and anguish for those around them who don't know Christ. There should be something of that in our hearts, I think. That we would be troubled, as it were, for those around us. We know what we have in Christ Jesus. We know what we've been spared from. We know that there are many around us sitting in darkness. We pray for them, and we carry to them the hope, the only hope they have, the gospel. And we're not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. Nothing else works. We don't use trickery. We use the gospel. And at the same time, we don't lose heart, for we know that there is a sovereign God who's ordered everything. And those things go together, having a heart for the lost and proclaiming the gospel, yet at the same time knowing that God's word never fails. He will use it as he wills. He knows those whom are his, and he will bring them home. And we hold those things together, don't we? They don't have to be separate. Our desire for the lost and our preaching the gospel and our telling of the gospel, and also knowing that God is sovereign. God is in control, and he chooses and elects. And so we take those in mind as we read God's word. Let's give our attention now to it. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. But it is not as though the word of God has failed. For not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel, and not all are children of Abraham because they are his offspring. But through Isaac shall your offspring be named. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offspring. For this is what the promise said: about this time next year I will return, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only so, but also when Rebekah had conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac, though they were not yet born and had done nothing either good or bad, in order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, but because of his call, she was told, "The older will serve the younger." As it is written, "Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated." The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God will stand forever.